Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves on the very last line of Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. We're going to just do one recording today to cover all of Chav Gimel Amud Bet, which is a short Amud. So we're starting only the last six words on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. The sugya that we're going to discuss now, which will take us all the way through Chav Gimel Amud Bet and also most of Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, is the topic of whether or not there is Avelut on Shabbat or not. And this is taking us back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah on Yud Tet Amud Aleph on 19a said as follows. It said, Shabbat Oleh, or Oleh, Ola, ve'ena mafseket. Shabbat counts for morning, and it does not interrupt morning. As opposed to regalim, festivals, mafsikin, they interrupt the morning, ve'enan olin, and they don't count as part of the morning. So the question is, what exactly this means? What's the relationship between Shabbat and regel? And what are these two concepts of ole, it counts, and mafsik, and it interrupts. And we already discussed the concept of interrupting relatively thoroughly. What we know is that any time that Shiva encounters a regel, the Shiva is truncated. And any time that Shloshim encounters a regel, the Shloshim is truncated. As soon as you hit the regel, your period is over. Whether even if you haven't yet reached 7 days or you haven't yet reached 30 days, it's truncated. It's cut off at that moment. And we know that Shabbat doesn't do that. Now, Rashi explains the conventional wisdom, which is how we do it today, which is that when it says that Shabbat is Oleh, that it counts, he says, Oleh leminyan Shiva, that it counts for the count of 7 days. That is, Shabbat is one of the 7 days. So let's say the first day is Thursday. So day one is Thursday, day two is Friday, day three is Shabbat, day four is Sunday. So Shabbat is Oleh, it counts as one of the 7 days. And ve'ena mafseket, and it does not cut off the morning. Dila achar Shabbat, Rashi says, tzarich lashlim, that just in the same kind of teaching that Shabbat is, let's say, day three, then Sunday is day four, you continue to count the Shiva even after Shabbat. So these two things go together. And perhaps they're repetitive to some degree. If Shabbat counts as one of the days of Shiva, why would you think that it would interrupt? And that's one of the Gemara's questions. So that's how we usually do it. Shabbat counts as one of the 7 days, and it does not interrupt the morning periods. But this is a discussion that the Gemara has to go through. So the Gemara says, of last line, Mipnei she'amru Shabbat Oleh ve'ena mafseket, because we say Shabbat counts, but it does not truncate. B'nei Yehuda u'b'nei Galila. There was a machloke between the people in Yehuda, which is in the south, u'b'nei Galila, and the people of the Galil, which were in the north. Hane omri, some of them said, yesh avilu p'Shabbat, that there is a mourning on Shabbat. And this is the people of Yehuda, based on other sources. Vahane, and the people of the Galil, Amrei, they said, Ein Avilu P'Shabbat, there is no Avilu P'Shabbat. Now, Tosfos is quick to point out here right away that what we're talking about is B'Dvarim Shebit Sina. This is the only question. Everyone agrees that there is no public mourning on Shabbat. The only question is there private mourning? And Tosfos is presaging the end of the sugya, at the very end of the sugya, at the bottom of Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph, the four lines up from the bottom of 24a. The final halacha is by Rabbi Yochanan, who says, Dvarim Shebit Sina Nohig, that we follow on Shabbat mourning that is done in private, which we're going to define as mourning which is done in your home where other people cannot see you. And that's going to be the final conclusion. But even that opinion is yesh avilut b'Shabbat, is not that there's a full avilut, but that there is some avilut on Shabbat, private avilut. And the one who says ein avilut b'Shabbat says that you don't keep any avilut b'Shabbat. Even private things are suspended during Shabbat. Now they're going to try to prove, each one's going to try to prove their case from the Mishnah. Man d'amar yesh avilu b'Shabbat, the one who says, man means who, d'amar that says, yesh avilu b'Shabbat, that there is avilu b'Shabbat, and by which we mean private avilut. Dekatani Oleh, because it says that Shabbat counts as a day of mourning. If it counts as a day of mourning, there must be some kind of mourning on Shabbat for it to count as a day. Now, this is a reasonable argument because we did see one other Havamina, and I am surprised that it is not brought up in the sugya, and I did not see it in the sugya at all, that possibly Shabbat would interrupt the 7 days, but not truncate them. In other words, let's say Thursday was your first day of Shiva, Friday's your second day of Shiva, Shabbat is a break, and then you would continue on Sunday with your third day of Shiva. In other words, Shabbat doesn't count as one of the days of Shiva, but it also doesn't interrupt it. So the idea that it is Olah, that it counts as one of the days of Shiva, ought to suggest that there is some kind of Avilut, some kind of mourning that's practiced on that day. Man de Amar, the one who says, Ein Avilut b'Shabbat, that there is no mourning on Shabbat, de Katani, Ein Mafseket, because it says that it does not truncate the morning. How does that work? Isal kadatach, if you were to think yesh avilut b'Shabbat, that there is avilut on Shabbat, hashta avilut nahaga, so then you're performing some kind of mourning on Shabbat already, afsuge mibaya, do I need to say that it doesn't truncate the morning? Why would I think that it would truncate the morning when in fact you're actually practicing some kind of avilut already on that day? Like, it seems a completely unnecessary teaching. Ella, rather, Hakatani, Ola, but when it says that it counts as one of the days, Idi de Kavila Mitna Seifa Einan Olin, since it says at the end of the Mishnah that the Regalim do not count as one of the days of mourning, Tanaresha Ola, so then it says here also that it counts as one of the days of the mourning. Now, this is a very problematic statement. In the Tosfos HaRashi says it very clearly, Rabbeinu Tam excises this from ID to Ola, because the argument seems very strange. What they're trying to say is that what the Mishnah says, it doesn't mean. Even though the Mishnah says Ola, it doesn't mean Ola, it's just mimicking the language of the Seifa, and Rabbeinu Tam says that would make the Mishnah false, and that doesn't make any sense. So perhaps the only other way to look at it is to say that there's a difference between Ola and Ola min haminyan. That when we say that Shabbat is Ola, that there's some avilut on Shabbat, perhaps we might think that that doesn't really count as one of the days of mourning because it's not a full mourning. So even though you have some private mourning, perhaps it wouldn't count. So when it learns Ola, it really should say Ola mina minyan, but when it says Ola, it's at least coming to teach you against the Hava mina that it counts as a day even though it's not a full day of mourning. In fact, to make it accord with the opinion here that there is no avilut on Shabbat, what we have to say is that even though no mourning is practiced on Shabbat, because this is the opinion that says there is no mourning on Shabbat, even though you don't practice mourning on Shabbat at all, nonetheless, it is still Ola. Or perhaps it might be better to say Einam Afseket, it doesn't interrupt the mourning. Even though there is no mourning on Shabbat at all, nonetheless, it still counts as one of the days of mourning. That's how you'd have to read it. But it's a difficult taich. It's a little hard to read. Ulumanda amar yesh avilut b'Shabbat, and according to the one who says that there is avilut on Shabbat, hakatani einam afseket. It also says einam afseket, which according to a simple reading is not a problem at all. But according to the reading that we just gave, it is a problem because the reading there is to suggest that even though there's no mourning practiced on Shabbat at all, nonetheless it doesn't truncate the mourning. It still counts. So he answers mishum de kavi lemitna seifa, since they established to teach at the end of the Mishnah regarding regalim, mafsikin, that the holidays truncate the morning, tanaresha eina mafseket. So then we also learn the same thing, eina mafseket, that it doesn't interrupt it doesn't truncate the morning. So the possible way to read this is that it's kind of redundant. This also is a problematic phrase, but it's also, you could say it's redundant. If you're saying that Shabbat is already Ola, that it counts as a day of mourning, and in fact that we keep private mourning on Shabbat, then you don't have to say Einam Afseket. It seems completely redundant. And here the Mishnah is then arguing, well, the only reason it says Einam Afseket is to keep the language of the Mishnah. So on Shabbat we say Ola ve'Einam Afseket, and for Regalim we say Mafsikin ve'Einan Olin. So then you have a sort of parallelism or a symmetry in the two halves of the Mishnah. So to summarize, according to the opinion, I know it's a little confusing. So according to the opinion that says that there is some mourning on Shabbat, the proof for that is that it says Ola. the possible argument against it, that Eina Mafseket is then redundant, is explained by saying that it's just a stylistic thing. It's true. And in fact, they are slightly different, in my opinion, because Ola means that there is some morning on Shabbat, and Einan Mafsikin means that it doesn't truncate the morning. According to the opinion that there is no Avilut on Shabbat at all, one might have a problem of understanding why does it count as one of the days of mourning, and why doesn't it truncate the Shiva, because there is actually no mourning there. So then in this case, what we're trying to say is the fact that it is a non-mafsikin is taught even though there is no mourning there. It is still Ola. It still counts as one of the 7 days. Here would be a great possibility to add in that neither one of these opinions seems to accord with the idea that you could take the day of Shabbat off. As I mentioned a couple minutes ago, that you could say Thursday's day one, Friday's day two, Sunday's day three, and Shabbat simply doesn't count as one of the days. That, I think, would clearly underscore the difference between Ola and Eina Mafseket, but I didn't see anyone, at least on the daf or in the back, who raised this issue. Okay, so continuing on, we're now on the we're two lines up in the skinny lines. Lema Ketanai, perhaps this question of whether or not there is mourning on Shabbat, you know, Yesh Avilu B'Shabbat or Ein Avilu B'Shabbat, Ketanai, maybe that argument between the Yehuda people and the Galil people is the same argument as we found between two Tanaim, that is an earlier argument that is just recapitulated at a later generation. Here is a Braita, actually maybe a Mishnah, it's a Mishnah, that brings up the same possible argument. And here we're talking about someone who's an Onan. And an Onan is defined as follows. Mishem meto mutalifanav, one whose deceased relative is laid out in front of him. Now this does not necessarily, generally we don't interpret this as an actual physical fact that the corpse is in the room, although we'll see it's possible that way. But what it means is that the burden is on you as the relative to bury your deceased relative and you have not yet buried them. In other words, between death and burial, you're in the status which is known as an onen. So in this situation, ocha b'vayit acher, if a person wants to eat, they should eat in another house, certainly in another room, as we'll see. Because eating in front of a deceased person is considered to be lo egla rash, you are mocking the dead who no longer can do living things. Ein lo b'vayit acher, if he doesn't have a second house that he can go to in order to have his meal, then let him go visit a friend and he can eat in the friend's house. If he doesn't have a friend who can lend him his house, let him make a minimum partition of 10 hand breadths, and then he'll eat behind the partition so that he's kind of in a separate area from the dead person. Ein lo davar lasot mechitza, if he doesn't have anything to make a partition, machzir panav ochel, let him at least turn around so he's facing the other direction and he can eat there if he has to. Ve'eno meisev, he may not do heseba, this is related to like a Pesach, he may not recline in a comfortable way to eat, ve'ochel, and eat, ve'eno ochel basar, and he may not eat meat, ve'eno shotei yain, he may not drink wine, ve'ein mevarech, he does not make any brachot, ve'ein mezamein, he does not, is not included in a zimun, ve'ein mevarchin alav, you don't make brachos for him, in order to, you know, be motzi him, ve'ein mezamnin alav, and you don't make a zimun on his behalf, upator mikriyat shema, and he is not required to say shema, uminat tefillah, he's not required to daven, uminat tefillin, he's not required to put on tefillin, umikol mitzvot ha'amurot batorah, and from all mitzvot that are said in the Torah. And this is true during the period of time that one is an onen, they have two things that are weighing on them. Number one is tirda, they have the obligation to take care of the burial arrangements. They have to make sure that the burial gets taken care of. So for this reason, we don't require them to do all these other mitzvot because we require them to take care of that piece as well. Now, it is possible, however, that not every person who is an Onan is actively working on the burial. Maybe someone else is taking care of the burial. They hired someone, or they have some other relatives who are taking care of it, but it nonetheless still applies. And part of that is because the other reason why a person may not do mitzvah when they're an Onan is because they are in an acute state of mourning. They're in sort of shock and grief. And so the Torah is lenient on them about doing all of these mitzvot until they can make sure that the kvura is done properly. So either one or both of those reasons is going to be at work in each of these halachot that are listed here that an onin does not have to participate in. However, now we go to Shabbat, which is the main reason why we're quoting this. The question is, what happens on Shabbat? So what we want to do is compare the rules of an Onan on Shabbat to the rules of an Avil on Shabbat. The question we're discussing is there Avilut on Shabbat? So now we're going to answer the question, is there Aninut on Shabbat? And perhaps we can learn one from the other. Uv Shabbat may save Ochel. On Shabbat, he can recline, do Haseba, ve'ochel and eat, ve'ochel basar, and he can eat meat. Pardon me, v'shota yain, and he can drink wine. Umavarich, he can make brachot. But that's before the food. Umizamid, he can be part of a zimun. Umavarchim, people can make a brachot for him. Umizamnin alav, they can include him in the zimun. V'chayev b'kriyat shma, he's required to say shma. Ubitzfila, and to daven. And then it adds ubitzfilin. So some people say it's just adding this because tefillin was in the original list. But in the Rashi manuscript, he writes, take out tefillin because it doesn't make sense. People don't wear tefillin on Shabbat. So you could just take out that word. All mitzvot in the Torah. So on Shabbat, there is no aninut. He has to do all the things that he doesn't do during the week. He does do on Shabbat. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, however, Rabbi Gamliel is going to disagree with the Tanakhama, and he's going to say, "Mitoch shenitchayev be'elu, since he is required to do all these things, nitchayev be'kulan, he must be required to do everything." Now, Rabbi Gamliel is speaking a little bit cryptically. What is the everything that he's required to do? After all, everything that was in the list that he's allowed to do on the weekday, that he's not allowed to do on the weekday, was in the list that he was allowed to do on Shabbat, even tefillin, unless we take that out. So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan explains what Rabbi Gamliel means and why he was speaking euphemistically. Tashmish hamita ika bainayhu. The difference is tashmish hamita, which is not mentioned here. But one of the things that an onan may not do is be intimate with their spouse. And the question is he allowed to be intimate with his spouse on Shabbat, even when he is an onan? The Tanakhama does not mention it in his list, which seems to indicate that the Tanakhama would believe that even though he's allowed to do all these other things that he's not supposed to do as an onan on Shabbat, he is still not allowed to have tashmish hamita with his spouse on Shabbat. However, Rabbi Gamliel says even tashmish hamita, even intimacy, is suspended for Shabbat when he's an onan. So the Gemara asks, "My love, b'haka mifugli, is it not true that what they are disagreeing about is demar savar yesh avilut b'Shabbat? One of them holds there is avilut b'Shabbat. That's the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama holds that even in aninut on Shabbat, you're still prohibited from doing tashmish hamita, which is a private matter that's done in your own home, in your own bedroom. So even though all the other things that an onan doesn't usually do, you do on Shabbat, not tashmish hamita. There's still some aspect of mourning that applies even on Shabbat. Umar savar, and the other one holds, ein avilut b'Shabbat, that there is no avilut b'Shabbat. In other words, even tashmish hamita is done on Shabbat. There is no mourning whatsoever that's done on Shabbat. Now, the problem is, we are trying here to argue that if there is such an argument related to being an onan, that the same thing would apply to being an avel. And the Gemara is going to demolish that comparison because we have not substantiated that aninut and avelut have the same rules. Mimai, how do you know that this is true? Dilma, perhaps ad kan, until now, loka amar tanakama. Hatam, the Tanakhama only said there that he is not allowed to have tashmish hamita when he's an onan on Shabbat. Ela mishum demeto muta lefanav, because his deceased relative is lying right there in the living room. Aval hacha, but in the case of avilut in mourning, de ein meto muta lefanav lo. Perhaps once their relative has been buried and the kvura is taken care of, perhaps then they are allowed on Shabbat as an avel to have tashmish hamitah. So the argument is the Tana Kama doesn't allow an onan to have tashmish hamitah on Shabbos, but maybe he would allow an avel to have tashmish hamitah on Shabbos. The Ad Kan, and until now, lo ka'amar Rabbi Gamliel, and until this point, we only know that Rabbi Gamliel said hatam there da akati lo chalavelut alei. That there's dakate means still, lochal, it has not fallen, avelut, mourning, ale, on him. In other words, in the case of an onen, the only reason he's allowed to have tashmish hamita when he's an onen is because he's not yet an avel, he's just an onen. Aval hacha, but here, now when he is an avel, dechal avelut ale, that avelut has fallen upon him, hachinami. Perhaps he would agree that a mourner is not allowed to have tashmish hamitah. In other words, we can't tell if the same, from this Mishnah, we cannot tell if the same rules apply to an onen, that is, in between burial, in between death and burial, and if and the same rules apply there as applies to an avel, which is after burial, or perhaps the rules are different. So we cannot make a comparison. So at the end of the day, this assumption that perhaps there was a Tanaitic argument that recapitulates the argument between the Bnei Yehuda and the Bnei Galil is demolished. Nonetheless, as we'll see in our next Amud, we still have this question, who do we decide by? Is there avelut b'Shabbat? That is, there's some aspect of mourning that is practiced on Shabbat, or ain avelut b'Shabbat, or there's no avelut on Shabbat at all whatsoever. We'll continue that discussion in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.